One of the neat things I get to do as a bass fishing journalist is I get to talk to the greatest in the sport. And right now, I don't think you have to be a rocket scientist to see that Kevin Van Dam is kicking everybody's tail. And Kevin, again, at Guntersville, you did it again.
You know, it's about time. That lake has always been one of my favorites, and I've been close to winning a lot of times there, so it made it real special to win, you know, an Elite Series event there. Been close so many times, and you know, somebody always has beaten me before. So I had a heck of a final day, though, and that really made a big difference.
25 pounds plus, and I'm going to tell you a couple things that I just heard. Okay, number one is I watched the weigh-in. That lake fishes a lot like Michigan. It fishes a lot like your home water, which you mentioned. But then Denny Brower said he thought you should have won many tournaments there before. I talked to him today, and he said as well, he said, that lake fishes just like Kevin loves to fish. And it was nice to see that all culminate in that 25-pound bag the last day.
I really had a good feeling about it all week long. It's one of those lakes that I just click with. You know, there's just no doubt about it. I don't know what it is about it. It's familiar. I've fished it a lot of times. I'm real comfortable there. And the way my practice started, it didn't take me 15 minutes the first morning to figure out what was going on the lake. And then from that point on, I just, you know, tried to learn from my past mistakes and try to find some areas that I didn't think other people would be fishing, just so I'd have something to fall back on, you know, when the traffic got high on the weekends. And, you know, for once it paid off. I was so worried after they canceled that first day due to the weather that, you know, I wasn't sure how that would affect the whole thing, but I knew from that point on that I had to go out there and catch them, you know, from the first day and catch a big stringer every day with only 3 days to do it. So it worked out, you know. I mean, it's one of those things that everybody plans every tournament to say, hey, I'm going to go out here and come up with multiple patterns and come up with a game plan, watch the weather, and win the tournament. And it's rare that it ever happens that way.
Well, it's not so rare for you, I don't think. But anyway, we'll go down a different path here. You know, the funny thing is the rankings, you know, the Bass Fan World Rankings, and I watch you all the time in that. And as a fan, I watch the rankings pretty heavy. I mean, I watch all the way down them. And, you know, you were within a point. You know, Steve Kennedy, Skeet Reese, some of those guys were starting to catch on you. And then you go down to Guntersville and you say, ah, let's put this one away, and now you're about 15 points ahead again. So, you know, even though the rankings, I'm sure, play a little bit in your head, I know that they don't, you know, it's not the most important thing for you. It's winning and going out there and competing. But it has to be nice to see you maybe get that little bit of a spread now.
To be honest with you, I've been gone since the Classic, and when you're on the road, I don't really have access to a computer. So I kind of miss checking out the, you know, the Bass Fan News and, you know, and going to Bassmaster.com and just all the bass fishing websites just to see what's going on in the sport and who's doing what. So you kind of get a little bit oblivious to it, which is not necessarily a bad thing. You know, you just, that way you can just focus on the fishing. But, you know, I like I've told you before, I'm not worried about the rankings or anything like that. I just go out there and I truly try to win every week that I'm out there. And in the last several years, when you fish that way, sometimes you're going to have a bad tournament. You know, at Clark's Hill, I think I could have, you know, maybe done something a little bit different there and came out of there with a, you know, a check at least, you know, changing the way I fished. But I was swinging for the big ones from the start and, you know, and through the finish. And it just, I came close to having an exceptional tournament there, and I ended up not even making the cut, you know, just because of that mentality. So that's just the way that you have to do it. And I think, you know, a lot of people say that they fish that way and they go into a tournament and say, hey, I'm fishing to win. But the reality of it is, you know, they're not. There's really probably only a handful or a quarter of the field that goes out there with that killer instinct mentality, you know, that says, hey, I'm going to take the chances it's going to take. And maybe I'll have a terrible tournament, but I'm here to win, you know. And I mean, you can see the difference. You know, I room with Davey Height, and he fishes the same way. I mean, and it shows in your performance. When you fish that way, you're going to have some bad tournaments, but you're also going to have some real good ones.
You know, your disposition is such as that, you know, and I talk about this all the time, the consummate professional, and when you see a guy that fishes to win, as you do, but, you know, it kind of takes care of itself. You know, rankings take all that stuff out of it, take the, you know, where everybody thinks you are, if you're the best or not the best or whatever. But you take that all aside, And really, if you fish to the highest level every tournament, that thing kind of takes care of itself, and that's what's happened for you. I remember as a young man coming out of Kalamazoo, you, the first tournaments you fished, you know, you were getting checks, I think like 20-some in a row, 27 in a row or something you got to check in. Now it just hasn't slowed down for you, and it's because of that killer instinct that you mentioned. I mean, as a fan, I watch you and I go, this guy's amazing. And I don't know how you keep it up, I guess is the big question. You know, how do you keep it up?
Sometimes I wonder myself, it's tiring out there. I'll tell you, the toughest thing for me these days is doing it out there on the road by myself. And I'll tell you, I'm real fortunate that Scott, Rook, and Davey and I, we get a house a lot of times. And you know, we, that way we can kind of help each other out. You know, one of us will go and get groceries, and the other one might do laundry, or, you know, we kind of share some of the other chores so that we can spend the most of our time focusing on fishing. But, you know, it was a lot easier when Sherry got to travel with me all the time, and, you know, she'd take care of, you know, the lunches and your laundry and all the little things like that, and then all the business things, too, you know, with your sponsors and stuff. Now, she still does all that from home, a lot of that from home, but it's just so much easier when you're there and, you know, you can talk all the time, you know, when you're done fishing at the end of the day and that. So it just leaves your mind on fishing when it needs to be. And so that's probably the hardest thing for me these days is concentrating on everything that I have to do outside of the competition to make sure that I got enough time to compete too.
Well, Sherry is in charge of the Lucky Cookies. And the Lucky Cookies, again, play dividends. Now, I'm sure that Scott Rook and Davey Hyde are sneaking in and getting some of those Lucky Cookies, but tell me about that story, if you would.
You know, Davey and I started rooming together, you know, I guess 2 years ago, and you know, Sherry always sent me with those cookies before I'd go, and he had a couple, and they're really good, you know, and he's like, oh, let me have a couple of those cookies, and he went out there and did real well. He ended up winning at Dardanelle. And he just kind of deemed them the Lucky Cookies. You know, it was kind of, he's the one that kind of came up with that. And so from that point on, we'd kind of always have them. And I kept them, you know, I kept them pretty much to myself. Don't give them to anybody and say, hey, these are Lucky Cookies. And, you know, guys kind of started, you know, making a big deal out of it. But we've had some pretty good success with them. You know, Davey had a win last year. Scott did last year. And, you know, Scott Rook is the guy, I mean, he is very much a believer in the Lucky Cookies. He's like, man, I'll be out there fishing and not doing any good, and I'll pick up one of them cookies, and he said, I won't even get it chewed up, and I get a bite. So, but you know, it's one of those things that it's fun to talk about. I'm not real superstitious or anything, but I will say this: we've had them at every tournament this year, and Sherry, you know, she's good enough now that she makes a big enough batch where I can give some to Scott and Davey, but that's where it ends. We don't delve any more out other than that. And we were staying at a place out by the lake that really didn't have an address or anything, so I didn't really have any easy way to have her send some in for that tournament. So I said, don't worry about it this week. You know, we'll be fine without them or whatever. And all three of us didn't make the 50 cut that week. So we're not making that mistake again. We're going to get Lucky Cookies shipped in someplace everywhere from now on.
Helicopter them in or whatever. I'm going to have to call Sherry and see if she wants a marketing guy to help her maybe market these cookies. You know, I think that there's some money in this. If it turns into results like what you guys are having, man, we ought to have those things out on the market. But then the competition, you know, they'd be in there too, wouldn't they?
Yeah, we sell them in other sports, but in fishing, that would kind of ruin the whole novelty of it if everybody could have them.
Well, that's right. That gives you that, you know, that advantage. You don't want to give them that bait or anything like that. Well, Kevin, you know, it's fun. It's fun to watch it. It's fun to watch the genuineness that you have. It's fun to watch you continue to have that smile on your face. I mean, everywhere you go, I heard the crowd in the background at Gunnersville. That's got to make you feel pretty proud of the fact that you're making a difference in our sport and people are looking up to you, and that's got to be a neat feeling for you.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, you know, that area down there especially, you know, we've been there so many times, and that's such a great bass fishing area, and there's so many hardcore fishermen down there that those are the fans like you and I. You know, they're really into it, and they fish a lot. So it made it fun, you know. I mean, the excitement that they had, and, you know, I looked at some of the pictures, you know, on the internet from the weigh-in, and you could see, you know, that they were genuinely as excited, and that makes it fun.
And I appreciate you spending time. I know you get a little off time here, but you had enough time to spend some time here at Bass Fan Radio, and I sincerely appreciate that.
Well, I'm always glad to do it. You know that.
Best of luck to you. I really appreciate it, and congratulations on a great win at Gunnersville.
Thanks, man.
I'm Terry Brown. This has been Bass Fan Radio.